In this episode of Let's Remake a Movie, we remake Avengers Endgame, but when the Avengers are looking for Fat Thor, they accidentally pick up the dude from The Big Lebowski instead. We recorded this episode several weeks ago before Jeff Bridges was diagnosed with lymphoma. We're all big fans of Jeff Bridges, and we'd like for this episode to be a tribute to his great work in The Big Lebowski. Get well soon, Jeff. Everyone at Let's Remake a Movie, and movie fans everywhere, are pulling for you.
Welcome back to another episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Prepare to have your mind blown by horrendous plotlines, unforgivable mashups, and so many explosions. Podcast not sponsored by Michael Bay. Suit up, strap in, and let's remake a movie.
Are we ready to get into the plot stuff of how the dude interacts with the Avengers?
Absolutely.
I see no reason why not.
All right, cool. So I think because the original Avengers Endgame, it's, you know, Thanos has already destroyed half the planet, the half the world population, and everybody's devastated. That seems like a good place for us to start our movie as well, because in the original movie, they go to find Thor. Rocket and Hulk go to find Thor. But what might be interesting is if Rocket and Hulk have bad intel on where Thor is, and then they go to a random house in California, and it's actually the dude, but they think it's
Thor. I love it.
I could absolutely see that happening. Not dissimilar to the two thieves who break in thinking that he's the Big Lebowski.
Yes, that's right. So they become almost the thieves. And like, so it's another case of mistaken identity.
Yeah. And
the Hulk's like shoving his head into the toilet. And he's like, "Where's the Infinity Stones, Lebowski?" No, you have to say, he has to say Thor. But, yeah.
I don't know. Let me take another look.
I like how, first off, Rocket Raccoon is with him, and Rocket Raccoon just gets super angry when the dude doesn't sound like Thor and doesn't act like Thor, even though Rocket thinks he's Thor. So basically, they would just be more stubborn about it that this is actually Thor. So that would make Hulk keep dunking his head in the toilet even more, just like in the
It's also amusing.
Well, I think they probably, because they're their friends, and so I think there has to be like a secondary motivation. So like they must hear that, like, oh yeah, Thor's on Earth, but he's really gone off the deep end, and they're like, okay, well, whenever we see him, we're gonna have to snap him back into it.
Yeah, okay.
And so like they go there and they're like, "Oh my God, Thor, you have to come back with us." And he's like, "You got the wrong dude, dude." And he's like, "They're like, no, Thor. Like, we know that you've given up the quest. We know that you've given up your life, but like, this isn't you. You have to come back with us." He's like, "Again, not me, man. Not who you're looking for." And they're like, "We're gonna have to do something. I know. Let's make him mad. Once he gets mad, he'll turn back into the God of Lightning." And so they continue to rough him up, destroying his rug in the process.
Yes. Should Rocket pee on his fucking rug?
I think there should be like blood. Like they get into a fight and like they accidentally wreck it.
Oh yeah. And that, like, because that rug really tied the room together. And so he would be very devastated and not too pleased with these two strangers coming into his house.
Go ahead, Sean.
I was going to say, what else happens is that when we see Thor for the first time in Endgame, he's a loser hanging out with Taika Waititi's rock creature, the slug thing, and a robot. They all have names. I can't remember them. But you know, they're just basically sitting around playing video games. So there's no reason to think that the dude is necessarily alone, because he's rarely ever alone, whether or not he wants to be. But, is it a possibility that he's even hanging out with those guys and then, you know, in the ensuing brawl that the slug thing that Taika Waititi's rock guy hangs out with pees on the carpet?
I think his name is Korg, I'm pretty sure.
That's Doug.
I think.
Korg, yeah. That's it. Thank you.
Isn't the one who dies Doug?
Doug, that's it.
Doug's dead. Doug's dead.
What about Doug? Oh, Doug's dead. Hey, Doug, you're alive.
They were playing Fortnite, weren't they?
Yes.
Yes, against Noob Master 69.
Yes, that's right.
Fun fact, Easter egg, there was Somebody has suggested that perhaps Nude Master 69 is in fact Loki, and he is still alive someplace.
Well, he escaped with the Tesseract in the previous timeline, so I wonder if that version of him is... I think that's what the Disney Plus show is going to be about.
Ooh, that could be interesting.
They're going to milk that. I'm excited for it.
I think it's called The Search for Loki, or The Search for More Money, whichever they prefer.
Something like that.
Laura, The Search for More Money was the title of Spaceballs 2. And Indiana Jones 4.
Although
I knew I heard that somewhere. Hey, both owned by Disney, man.
Although ultimately, if the rug is soiled, then the dude in true dude fashion is going to seek out a new rug. And who would be the wealthiest man still on Earth that would be able to give him that but Tony Stark?
Tony Stank.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And of course, at their first interaction, I think the first time we see all of them together is when Tony is brought back from the moon by Captain Marvel. And, they're in that sort of conference room where we see Dude Thor in true Dude Thor getup. And so, to that end, does Tony have like a PTSD freak out from the fact that suddenly there's this man who not only looks like Thor, but also looks a little bit like, Iron Monger?
Right, yes.
Oh, Jeff Bridges.
That's a good idea. Maybe.
Okay, I like that. And nobody else knows what the hell is happening. And Tony's little daughter, who shows up in this movie for the first time, is like wondering what he's doing. And they can be all cute and shit. Oh, also, just a quick note, are the other characters from The Big Lebowski going to be involved? Like John Goodman, Walter, Donnie, Steve Buscemi?
Personally, I would love to see Walter Sobchak coming out of one of the portals.
That would be amazing.
Avengers, like just assemble, he says just... that.
And then he comes out of one of the portals. Okay, and then one of Thanos' minions goes over the line and then just points a gun at him and just shoots him. He just looks at like Captain America, who looks on in horror, and he just goes, "It's a league game, smoke."
You know, I do like also the image of sort of the other way around as well, where if Rocket was with the Nihilist or something like that, be like, "All right, we need a rich lady, $1 million, and that girl's toe."
Oh man, honestly, that's perfect. That's a perfect mashup. That's why this podcast exists.
So they're at Stark Tower, and ultimately, people are starting to put their heads together about, all right, we know about this Thanos guy and we got to collect the Infinity Stones. That's normally where we get, Thor going through and talking about what each Infinity Stone is. So in this version, does he basically, they're like, and we'll turn this over to Thor. And then at this point, does he get up and announce, well, I'm actually, I don't go by that.
I go by the dude.
They call me the dude,
They call me the dude.
El Duderino, Duder.
He should totally be baked during this scene.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
But I like this as the plot element, because you have the dude talking with everybody, and he's talking with all the Avengers, and they just have no idea why he's talking like
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. And it makes sense, because ultimately he's going to have to wind up going, home, and then getting, one, the stone, and two, ultimately, hopefully, he'll get Mjolnir, if he's worthy.
So we're going to have the dude wielding Thor's hammer?
Maybe it's Mjolnir, but the stone at the end is a carton of half and half.
Oh. He does like that. Yeah, and he would pay for it with a check.
For 69 cents.
I was thinking Mjolnir would be a bowling ball.
Oh,
yeah.
Mjolnir.
Sure, yes.
Mjolnir.
But he's only worthy to lift it.
We're
going to
really do this mashup, though. I think that every so often it should cut away to the real Thor just sitting in an easy chair drinking a beer, scratching his nuts every so often, and then just cuts back to the real action.
He has no idea what's going on. No, yeah.
He's just beating Noob Master 69 this entire time.
Eventually he's going to like look out the window and see like a mushroom cloud or something like that and just like belch.
He's just like, I don't care.
So wait, how are we going to fit? We're missing one crucial character, in my opinion. Well, a couple, but where are we going to fit the Jesus in?
I was wondering, do we got to have the Jesus and the Nihilists? I was thinking they could be maybe Thanos' minions?
Yeah.
I will say Ebony Maw, the tall, gangly one that looks like Squidward, does seem like he could be Jesus.
Yeah.
That's true.
I feel like the Jesus would end up partnering with Thanos so he could take over the world and just be the world's best bowler. And Thanos could crown him that.
Now, he shows up in Infinity War, too, though. Would we be laying the foundation for that in Infinity War first?
Well, I think just because we're going off of, like, this is an accidental mashup. So maybe, like, Thanos realizes that the Avengers Plus are going to try to steal the Infinity Stones. And he realizes because Ma's dead in one reality, like, he's going to need another sidekick.
Oh, true.
Someone who really knows the people of Earth. Because he just can't get his head around this dude. Like, he thought, you know, he says that it's Thor, but it's, like, it's a different tactic than Thor would take, and so he decides to enlist some humans to help him out.
Okay.
To be his spies on Earth.
Oh, okay, so the Jesus and the Nihilists are Thanos' spies.
Yes.
And it would be helpful because Ebony Maw in particular is known, you know, in at least in the comic books, but also we see this in the movies hinted at. He's so smart that the same way that Doctor Strange can look into the time stone and see all the different timelines, he can basically do that mentally. That's why you see when he fights, he never actually moves. He just stands there and he does something to make things move around him because he's already thought five steps ahead.
Yeah, so Ebony Maw is the Doctor Strange bad guy.
Yeah.
And he looks like Squidward without the nose.
Yep.
Ha, nice. Just trying to confirm for our audience. Oh, also, just as a side note, we should have one scene where the dude is flying in the spaceship that the Guardians and Tony Stark are in, and then they start playing the Eagles. And then the dude just says, like, I hate the fucking Eagles, man. And then Rocket gets into a big argument with him about the Eagles, and because Rocket is apparently a big Eagles fan.
So I was thinking about that scene as well. And I was thinking instead of that, he's taking like a taxi to the Avengers HQ. And the taxi driver is Stan Lee in a cameo.
Oh, that's perfect. I love it.
He goes, dude, can you change this man? What? No, I mean, could you change this man? What? I can't hear you over the Eagles. Yeah, would you change? I hate the fucking Eagles.
And Stan Lee throws him out of the taxi.
Yes!
And then in order to get there, he flies over the city on what else but Doctor Strange's cape.
There we go.
Not dissimilar to his trip when he's flying on his precious rug.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
He should wonder whether this is actually real as it's happening. And Doctor Strange should hate his presence.
Yes, absolutely. Because he's, in some ways, the anti-Doctor Strange. No class, no preparation.
Isn't Strange dead at this point? He's been turned to dust.
Yes, that's all right, true. He is.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, that does raise the question, because I don't remember if his cape gets dusted, because his cape is technically a separate entity, although I guess if it's in the 50% of life.
No, I'm. I'd be all right with the fact that that cape spends all of its energy trying to fly back to Earth, only to accidentally get wrapped up on the dude's face.
Let's go with that.
Like the dude has his last roach in his mouth, like just that last little fucking half centimeter. And he's trying to light it, and the cape just swings out of nowhere and accidentally bumps in his face, knocking the roach into the city sidewalk. And he goes, "Man, dude, watch where you're." And he sees like the cape, and he's like, "Oh man, this shit just kicked in." And that's when the cape is like, "I need you. You need to like," and wraps himself around. And that's how he ends up getting to the Avengers. And he thinks it's some weird trip. And the cape is like,
I want to see what condition my condition is.
Yeah, but the cape is like, I got to get this dumb fuck to the fucking Avengers for some god-awful reason. Because the dude holds the key by abiding.
The dude holds.
Maybe that's it. So, like, maybe in all of this, like, even, like, the Soul Stone and everything, maybe the dude accidentally has the Time Stone because he just abides, dude. Like, he can summon the Time Stone when he's really high or something.
Or the Reality Stone, because he really seems to get by without any consequences for anything he does.
Yeah, he really just floats about.
He seemingly has no money, no job, really nothing going on besides he smokes a lot of weed, listens to music, and goes bowling. We have no idea, unless he's secretly independently wealthy, how he's doing any of that.
I think they purposefully eliminated the Coen brothers, did any like backstory on the character.
Yeah.
Just because they thought it would be funny, because originally they wrote a boat that he was an heir.
We know he went to college and he spent a lot of time smoking weed, but that's about all we know.
So what if the dude accidentally gets wrapped up in the Thanos timeline, and we find out that he can command the Reality Stone when he's high. That the Power Stone is actually inside his bowling ball. Mjolnir. Mjolnir is the bowling ball. So he's going to accidentally help find these stones.
Because he can't find his bowling ball.
Yeah, and the Avengers are like, you have to come with us to help us find the stones, and because they still think he's Thor. And all the dude hears with his white Russian in his hand is that they're all going to go get stone. He's like, yeah, stones, more than one stone. Yeah, I'm in, man. Whatever, man. You know, and so that's how he goes with them. And he accidentally assists them every single time.
I think it would be funny if he has nothing to do with the stones. They ask him if the bowling ball is Mjolnir, and he's just like, yeah, dude, sure.
Sure, dude. It has many names, dude.
Yeah, but it turns out it's just a regular bowling ball, but he somehow is able to help them get all the stones. They wouldn't be able to do it without him.
But in this one, I think that when Donnie dies, that's how he gets the Soul Stone.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, Donnie gets dusted because, of course, and they throw the coffee can with the ashes off the cliff.
And the Soul Stone just rises from the ashes.
Exactly.
Oh my God. And they have no idea what it is, so the dude just makes it into a necklace or something.
Oh God.
He tries to light his fucking doobie with it.
Laura, when you said the White Russian, that reminded me when there's the big battle scene at the end, and it's basically just a giant orgy of special effects, and it's awesome. Thanos' guy should be going at him, and then the dude should just be sipping his White Russian, and then one of them crosses by him, and he says, hey man, there's a beverage here!
I think those fucking circles open in the end, and all of a sudden you hear, on your left, dude, on your left! And just out of fucking nowhere with his Vietnam-registered Desert Eagle, just like cocks it and goes, am I the only one here that's fucking sick and tired of motherfucking aliens taking over?
Yeah, that's great.
Walt just becomes like an action hero.
Yeah.
It becomes like Laura's favorite movie, The Expendables, where it's just some old dude going off on people. Laura actually hates The Expendables, for the record.
I like The Expendables. I just think that, like, the dead should stay dead. Like, I don't know. There comes a point when you resurrect these old stars out of fucking formaldehyde, and you're like, I have an idea. Let's use the same character, the same actor, and the same shitty lines they said in the 80s, but put them in a, like, Michael Bay explosion plot and just let people pay money to get their eyes fucked for an hour and a half.
Remember your favorite action heroes? Remember when they were young?
Guys, Arnold said, I'll be back. Don't you love it when Arnold says, I'll be back?
That's what I mean. It's like, you know, how many times can these Hollywood executives make trailers that are like, in a world where old superheroes get together with modern special effects, I told you I'd be back, in order to take down Jason Statham, who may also be one of the good guys. Like, it's just so fucking, like, it's just like a circle jerk.
It's like a Rick and Morty improvised movie trailer. Two brothers that share a special bond.
By the way, Laura, your trailer voice was a mix of, like, an intense trailer voice and an old, like, judgmental Jewish grandma. It was one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
Do you remember when Arnold Schwarzenegger, he would say, I'll be back, and all the people in the theaters, they loved it.
Oh my God, I remember when that hot one with the bald head used to say, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, and I just die. I die.
Oh, and that Jason Statham, his head is so smooth and shiny like my grandson, the lawyer, not the doctor, although he does have a beautiful head of hair too.
I just love the British accent. He's just so exotic.
Do any of you understand a word Stallone says?
Oh my God, honey, as long as he keeps looking like that with his pecs in his chest, I don't care what he says.
Oh.
Not even a word, though.
I told my Harold that Sylvester Stallone can take me away anytime. It doesn't matter. And Harold understands. He has an agreement about that Scarlett Johansson, that she can take him away at any time, and I don't see what the fuss is with her.
Oh my God, Harriet! Harriet, come quick! Jean-Claude Van Damme's not dead?
Oh!
Come here!
He does the splits.
Guys, This has been one of the best wine-induced rants I've ever had, so thank you for that.
That was amazing. That was honestly amazing.
Okay, so this means one of our next mashup has to be the Golden Girls meets the Expendables. Like,
holy shit.
We originally talked about the Golden Girls and Goodfellas, but I'm down with Golden Girls and Expendables.
Buckle up, bitches. It'll be 90 minutes of us doing old Jewish and Italian jokes with Jean-Claude Van Damme references.
After this episode comes out, we're going to be like, how come our subscriber count went in half?
I'm going to break my foot off so far up their ass, they're going to cough up the taste of aspicream.
Oh my god.
I'm going to ram my fist into your throat and break your goddamn spine.
Back to the dude. Can I just mention one thing? I think that the entire fight scene should be this beautiful Metacone overture in the background, and all of the entire time, the fucking cowboy is narrating over top of it.
Sam Elliott.
You gotta have Sam Elliott cowboy. Yeah, I'm mad we haven't brought him in so far.
Yeah. Just like that, the dude was abiding in a whole new level.
The dude made a bunch of new friends this evening. He didn't think he'd be meeting up with a guy in a metal suit and a man who threw shields and a guy who only knew how to use a bow and arrow. But that's just living.
Avengers assemble.
Although, I do have to ask, when the fight starts, because we do see, you know, one, that the dude is shocked to, one, find his bowling ball and find that he's worthy of it, but two, Captain America now has to wield Bolnir.
Oh, yes.
And I'm wondering how that works.
Bolnir! Bolnir!
And what does the dude use in Bolnir's place while that's happening?
What would you do? The whole movie, the dude like doesn't really do much, but then all of a sudden he like raises Bolnir up into the sky, and lightning strikes down onto the ball, and then he tosses it to Captain America, and Captain America literally just like bowls with it, like he throws it like a bowling ball, and he hits Thanos with it, and it makes like a bowling pins knocking over sound.
Yeah, he should just go bowling with all Thanos' bad guys as like the epic theme plays in the background. It's like doo 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 doo, and then like the ball comes.
There's like a cheesy scene where Thanos is like the first pin, and all his minions are lined up like an actual bowling pin set, and they all just get knocked over.
Oh man.
How does the dude handle it when suddenly the hot potato that is the Infinity Gauntlet lands in his hands?
He should not know what to do with it, and just like, well, he should use it to like as something to place his White Russian on while he's just walking around, and then occasionally sip from the White Russian.
And then basically, and then I'm imagining at that point Walter comes up and realizes, "Don't worry, dude, I'll clear a path for you," and just starts dual wielding his handguns as he basically body blocks for him as he works his way towards. To Scott, to bring it back.
Yeah.
Oh, like Ant-Man?
Yeah, they've got to get it back, yeah.
Okay, so where are we at in the story now? Are we at the end battle?
I think we've jumped there, yes.
We jumped there like 30 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I think like the whole, we're mashing it up. In our version of Avengers meets the dude, we're not going back in time, maybe like for one or two stones, but the dude accidentally finds the rest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that in a movie that epic, a lot of it is pulled by the ensemble cast, insofar as Thor's arc itself is pretty straightforward if you think about it. It starts off where, you know, he doesn't want to come back. They convince him to come back. They got to convince him that, you know, he's powerful and worthy again, so he goes to Asgard and, you know, finds that he is worthy, gets the stone, gets Mjolnir, comes back, and then, you know, at that point he's back and it's the final fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Pretty simple arc.
But if we're putting the dude in everywhere and he's walking ass backwards and the Secretary of State walks out with the briefcase containing the...
General Ross.
Yeah, General Ross containing the...
Tesseract.
Thank you. I don't know where my words are tonight. You know, when he's trying to get it, if the dude, you know, accidentally walks into the commotion with Loki and with the Hulk and everybody that, and just, you know, spills a drink on him and accidentally walks off with the guy's briefcase. The same way that he does when, you know, if Walter switches out a ringer. Or it's just a briefcase full of his underwear, and that's what they wind up fighting over.
That's awesome. Oh, man. Yeah, and he pulls a fake imposter move.
Is he doing this in a bathrobe the entire time?
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
It's the bathrobe, but it's also, he's got like some brightly colored like cargo shorts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like Laura, what do you want to have him do? Dress up? The dude would never do that.
No, but I'm saying like for the battle scenes and everything, like especially if they still think he's Thor, I think that when he touches the bowling ball, so Bolgenir, and like raises it to the sky, I think like his bathrobe should like start sparking or something like that. Like he accidentally becomes worthy of the God of Thunder. And if only we have a cut scene at that exact moment that Thor looks out the window and sees what's going on and just like leans slightly to the right and farts epically. And that's how like suddenly lightning shoots out of his ass and that hits the dude. And that's how he gets his powers for a couple of minutes to continue to fight or something.
So Thor farts and then it causes lightning. And then it gives the dude power.
Yes.
And then the dude farts, which Thor hits with a lightning bolt, and it sends a massive bolt of fire streaming across the battlefield.
My God. I'm amazed it took us this many episodes to get to fart humor. It's incredible. That would make for a pretty epic action scene, and Thanos wouldn't know what to do.
Thanos would be like, what the fuck?
Yo, you can't dodge a fart, man.
That's true.
I'll have to admit, I wouldn't see that coming.
Yeah.
All the other Avengers should be looking at this happening, and they're just like, who is this? What the hell happened to Thor?
They all think it is Thor. They all think it is Thor. Like Thor's gone super downhill.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Strange looks at the time stone like, oh, I didn't see that one. I didn't think we'd get to this universe. And that's the Thor I knew it moment. So, you know, Captain America has shown that he's worthy of Bolnir, right? Whatever.
That's the moment when the audience stands up and cheers.
In the movie, when Captain America shows that he's worthy of Mjolnir, Thor goes, I knew it. So he farts on the dude. The dude gets his powers. And Thor goes, I knew it.
All right, so we got the battle. I think the final scene, Thanos looks like he's about to snap his fingers and wipe out the entire universe. And then Iron Man gloves up and you realize that he actually took the Infinity Stones off of him. And he does this whole I am Iron Man thing and he snaps his fingers, but also nothing happens for him. And then the camera pans over and the dude has the Infinity Stones, but it can't be on a gauntlet. It has to be something. Is it on his bowling ball?
No, yeah, the rocks in his drink.
And he goes, they call me the dude or something. And then he takes a sip and that's the snap.
He looked at me, he's like, I told you, the dude abides.
Yes! And he doesn't even snap, he just takes a drink.
And everyone's like, yeah! He just sips. He just, like...
Sip.
Spoiler alert, in Avengers Endgame, when that happens, Iron Man dies. So does the dude die?
Wait, what if he, like, mysteriously disappears? Yeah, but what really happened is he like got shot back to his own reality and timeline back on the couch like it was a bad trip, but everybody else thinks that like he disappeared.
Like leaving behind his sunglasses and his bathrobe.
So we're giving him the Luke Skywalker Last Jedi exit where it's just...
Yeah! Yeah.
And then Doctor Strange looks at Tony Stark and he goes, wait, you were supposed to die.
And then Tony Stark should just hate Doctor Strange in that moment.
No, I think like he might look at me like, you look through all of the realities until you found one that we won, right? And he's like, yeah, and that one that we won, I died, right? Yeah. Did you look at the one after that? The last one that you look. So he didn't look far enough. He's like, he saw the one where Tony Stark saved everybody, but he never saw the one where the dude saved everybody.
Are there any of the earlier scenes we want to put in, like when he's on Asgard?
Wait a second. I just thought of something. So if he gets teleported back to his like universe or whatever, maybe when Thanos snapped his fingers in Infinity War, that's what teleported him to this universe.
Or it's just that insane that it was a reality that didn't exist until the dude made it exist.
There was like a big disruption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put him in an alternate universe where like he hasn't seen Donnie since the
snap.
Oh, I like that. Donnie dies. And it's obviously from a heart attack because no shots were fired against the Nihilists.
Which means that the fight with the Nihilists takes place in the MCU. Because that's how Donnie dies and they get the Soul Stone.
Do any MCU characters come back from the dead? I'm wondering if we can use that for Donnie.
You know, as for the only people that really come back are the ones who are killed in the original snap. So there's nobody that actually dies during Endgame that's brought back.
Oh, okay.
And if you read into the canon of the Soul Stone, I believe, and I'm sure that some fan of ours is going to correct me, but I believe the Soul Stone is actually like kind of sentient and likes to collect the souls of people. So that Soul Stone does not let them go once he has them.
Okay. I have another idea for an action scene. You're going to like this. There's one action scene where the dude gets a bowling ball, and then the Jesus also gets a bowling ball because he's working on behalf of Thanos, and he ends up getting big powers. And he rolls a bowling ball at some of the Avengers, and he rolls it, but then Walt just sees him step over a line, and then Walt just goes, "Over the line!" And then he goes in with two guns, bang, 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 and takes out the Jesus.
At this point, Walt basically is functioning as the Punisher. In fact, I think he should be in the full Frank Castle getup with the skull and crossbones. And he sees Captain America's shield get chipped. He goes, "Do you know how many people died in Vietnam for that?"
So if Donnie got sacrificed for the Soul Stone, they're making a Black Widow movie next. It takes place before Infinity War, but that means we have to make a Donnie movie next.
We absolutely have to make a Donnie movie.
This is where we find out that Donnie is actually a really interesting and compelling character. He's not just their punching bag. He's not the Meg Griffin of the...
He kind of is the Meg Griffin of in the Big Lebowski, yeah.
That's the point. Yeah, it's so you know, when we get his when we get a prequel that's all about Donnie, you know, then suddenly we'll find out what makes him tick.
We should have, if we're going to do a Donnie prequel, we should have Donnie talk to his girlfriend about how much he hates sand.
What is it with you and Star Wars, man?
Come on, that's a high quality reference.
Star Wars is very much, especially the prequels. I mean, obviously anybody can enjoy Star Wars, but it seems that especially the prequels are other dude movies.
Yeah, that's you're not wrong. But yeah, Laura, you're not wrong. I do shove in Star Wars references for no reason. It's just like it's a problem.
That's your thing. It's all right, dude.
All right.
Dare I say he forces them in?
I'm alright. Nobody moves at me. Okay, doing the Donnie spinoff movie. Are we also going to have Dude spinoff movie, Walter spinoff movie?
I would watch the shit out of a Walter spinoff movie.
I would too.
Although I feel like the Dude spinoff movie is the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, you can't, like, that's his story.
What do we have? Because we have to have one. What do we have in terms of a post-credit scene?
We should also have the dude at like the big funeral scene at the end.
No, he died. He went back to his own reality.
Okay, should they have a big funeral for the dude who they think is Thor?
Oh, yeah.
So what they should do is sort of like what they did for Iron Man, where they just took the generator in his chest and they floated it out onto the lake. They should do that with his sunglasses and robe.
Yeah.
Nice.
So everybody's in line at the lake for the funeral and they're saying goodbye. Very much like that scene in Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. Everyone's looking out peacefully at the lake as they float away. And Thor just steps up to the line looking out to the lake and goes, "Beautiful. That was beautiful." And they all look to the side like, "Oh my God! What the hell?" Yeah, the actual Thor shows up for the funeral, and because he heard there was a party, not because of anything else.
Wait, I thought he was at the final battle when he farts, though.
Yeah, I think he was far away, and then the fart.
Yeah, he sees the battle from a distance, and he just is like, "Meh, I give two shits," and just like turns fart.
Oh, they realize Thor's still alive. Sam Jackson is standing there. He's just like, "Wait, who the fuck was that?"
Meanwhile, off to the very, very edge, you see some cowboys slinking into the background.
And then he looks to the camera just like, "Turns out they thought they had the wrong man. But turns out the dude was the right man for the right moment."
Oh, yay! That was epic.
The dude's back in his world. So what does he just, what does he do? Just go bowling?
Yeah, he just, he goes to the store, he makes another fucking drink, he has to buy another bathrobe now, and he still doesn't have a fucking rug.
Are we gonna have the dude be involved in other Avengers movies?
I think he can make, you know, some other appearances, but he's not featured in all of them, you know what I mean? It's sort of like how, you know, Hulk turns up in Thor Ragnarok or something like that.
What if Nick Fury wants to get him involved?
With the Avengers protocol. Okay. So post-credit scene, you hear a knock at the door, and there's just this rug rolled up on his mat, but it's really small. And it says, there's more where this came from, and there's just an address. And he shows up there, and it's that big fucking mansion, and he walks in, and he goes, so, snuck into the Avengers party, drunk and stoned, and still managed to beat Thanos. Looks like you've got exactly what we're looking for. And it's just like Nick Fury. And he's got the folder on the table that says the Avengers Initiative.
And then it cuts to black and it says the dude will return.
The dude will abide in. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of Iron Man 1, it plays Iron Man. So what song plays at the end as it says the dude will return?
I think it's got to be Creedence.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves Credence. And I think here's something that the Marvel nerds will love. It's that given the timeline in which the Big Lebowski takes place, wherein Saddam Hussein is about to invade Kuwait, it takes place before the events of Captain Marvel, which means we will see Nick Fury with both eyes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So he goes back into his universe. But his universe takes place...
I think Desert Storm was 90, 91, something like that.
So he goes back to 91, kind of, in a way.
Yeah, and I believe Captain Marvel starts in 94?
I think so, somewhere around there.
The music was good and the women were hot. I wasn't complaining. I mean, in real life, I was 2, but I liked the movie. It was a good year. My brothers weren't born yet. It was nice.
I am a younger brother.
Go fuck yourself.
My brother had 2 blissful years before I came around.
Laura and I say go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Josh, you got siblings, don't you?
Yes, I am the older brother.
So we all go say go fuck yourself, Connor.
Yep.
Start this on Facebook and Twitter, hashtag fuck Connor.
That goes trending, and then everyone else who doesn't know our show is like, what the fuck?
Who is Connor? Is this, are they talking about Connor McGregor? So Avengers Endgame is the highest grossing movie of all time. James Cameron was a salty bitch when it outgrossed Avatar.
Yeah, and he eventually got over it.
Avengers Endgame grossed $2.8 billion. How much more would it have grossed with the dude in there?
Oh. Avengers the dude, probably, how much did it gross?
The original Avengers Endgame grossed to like $2.8 billion.
So it's going to gross $2.9.
I think maybe a solid 210, only because the dude fans that will come will be too drunk or stoned to remember, so we'll have to say it at least 12.
No, it's a lore. It's getting to 3 billion.
No, but they still record it as 2.10.
Although, is there any lost revenue for the people who basically get too stoned to leave so they stay through for a second showing without having to pay for another ticket?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that knocks it down to 2.10.
Oh, my God. No, wait. It's all the rage that the kids do. They show up at the movie theater, get too drunk or stoned, and they stay for the second showing, and they call it hashtag abiding.
We found out that Avengers the Dude would have grossed more money. And I think people should do like the group dress up for Halloween. They would go as Iron Man and Hulk. And
the dude with the bowling ball and lightning coming out of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Although, let me ask you this. Josh, how tall are you?
I am 5'10".
Okay, damn it. I was going to say we need somebody really short to be our Donnie.
Oh, shoot.
Laura!
I'm 5'5". You can use me.
I think Laura's got to be Maud, though.
Who would be the dude, me?
You're more like the cowboy, honestly.
I'm totally cool with that.
I'm guessing both of you are probably in better shape than I am, so I think I have to be John Goodman. Although I am living for the image of Laura acting out the first scene where we meet Maud Lebowski, where she flies in on the harness and says, are you repelled by the word vagina?
Oh, wait, what's that scene?
Are you repelled by sex?
Yeah, she says something to the effect of, my art
described as extremely vaginal.
It offends some men simply by the word existing, vagina.
She has to talk with the rest of the Avengers at some point.
Oh, that's true. We forgot to include that.
Laura, can you give us a more pregnant pause between some men are offended by the word even existing? Because I just want to hear that as my ringtone.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Some men are even offended by the word existing. Vagina.
That was great. So
all of the men in the room giggled. All of you giggled. All of you are going to hell.
Well, no, it's not that we're going to hell. It's that we're all 12-year-olds at heart.
It's one of my favorite words.
Wait, what's a vagina?
I'll tell you when you're older.
Well, you see, when a man loves a woman very much, the stork comes and visits them and has sex with your mother.
Oh my god.
While your father watches, sometimes from a chair, sometimes from a closet, often while dressed as Batman.
My god.
And crying.
All right. We're getting out of this cul-de-sac.
That's a Rick and Morty reference for those of you who didn't pick it up.
I did not. I need to watch Rick and Morty.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, so Maude talks with the Avengers. I feel like she would talk to Steve Rogers the most because he has a very wholesome look about him.
Maybe what happens is they're looking for Thor, and all they have is a description of this guy that looks like Thor, and they come to see her first, and she kind of tells them where he lives.
And I will say Steve Rogers would also be the member of the Avengers most likely to be offended by the word vagina.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, he's very wholesome.
He walks out of her art studio and just turns to the Avenger next to him and goes, "Do people really pay money for that? Is that what art is supposed to be?" And they just go, "It's all right, Steve. We'll tell you when you're older."
And then they're walking away. He's still standing there confused, and he drops Josh's line, "What's a vagina?"
Love it.
Steve Rogers has not taken health class. Things you learn in Let's Remake a Movie.
Well, I mean, like, they weren't talking about vaginas in the 30s. We all know vaginas were invented in the 60s.
Also, he was frozen for years when he was supposed to be taking health class, so he was very behind.
Yes, that's true. Poor guy.
Any other burning thoughts we have on how we would do the Avengers the Dude?
I'm sure our fans will tell us what we missed.
Yeah.
If anything, I just want to have one interaction with him and Rocket Raccoon where he's just super stoned and Rocket Raccoon is just so angry and probably drunk. And Rocket Raccoon tries to sip the dude's white Russian and the dude just gets super offended and yanks away from him. And the Rocket like starts like punching dude in the face.
I like it.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
As we were talking about it, we would probably just go into a random rant about Jewish ladies talking about old action stars again, because why the fuck
not? That was one of our better rants, okay?
We have 20 minutes of it, so I'll have plenty to work with.
Woohoo!
We'll have to have a Walt spinoff. We'll have to have a Donnie spinoff. They would all gross like hundreds of millions of dollars and have action figures and all that. And then DC would try to do their own version of it, of their own copy of The Big Lebowski, but it would just be super dark, and the dude and Jesus would become friends when their moms have the same name.
Yeah.
Mary?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Batman v Superman, the big fight at the end of the movie is resolved when Batman and Superman find out their moms have the same name. It's the dumbest thing ever.
Can you imagine being a writer and just writing that into the script?
Somebody got paid for that. Should the dude offer any weed to the other Avengers?
Does the dude ever have any weed to share, ever?
I mean, this is true. Maybe somebody should ask him for it, like Rocket.
Yeah, Rocket should ask him for some.
Yeah, and that's what starts the fight.
He basically looks over and he goes, "Hey, what do you got there?" "Nothing." "Doesn't look like nothing. It looks like something that you should be sharing with the rest of the class." And then you just hear, "I am Groot." And you go, "Yeah, what he said." And then they all start fighting.
Oh, nice. And then Star-Lord tries to calm them down, but eventually it gets into a big fight.
Like punches them across the room.
The next Thor movie is actually going to be Thor with Guardians of the Galaxy. Could we have the dude with the Guardians of the Galaxy?
And there's a female Thor, Natalie Portman.
Except we have the real Thor back.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, God.
I had two beers before this recording, and I'm like, Laura, the alcohol doesn't necessarily suit me for recording.
Wow. Get with the program, man. The things you're supposed to do for your art. Come on.
I know, right? I'm slacking. I only had two beers before this. It's like, maybe it wasn't enough.
Keep up with the continuity we're making up as we go along, Connor. I don't know. Josh, what do you do for your art? I generally live a life of suffering. What do you do?
I don't know. I don't really have a preparation ritual.
I've been watching a lot recently of people who will play like video games online, but it's the same group of people every time. So they have Connor being a bro moments, Laura being drunk moments, Sean's gay moments. I think what we need is just Sean's misery moments.
Misery moments compilation.
Exactly.
Aww.
Misery moments compilation. Oh, yeah. Well, unless anybody else has any other ideas, I think we just had the dude enter into an Avengers movie. They thought he was the wrong man. They thought he wasn't an Asgardian, but he was the right man for the right time. I take comfort in that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Remake a Movie. Connor, play us out.
This is the story of a man who was content with the simple things in life. Bowling, a puffer reefer, and an ass clean rug. But when destiny came knocking on his door in the form of an angry raccoon, the dude answered that call. And now, if you don't mind, I'm gonna switch to singing mode. The dude was baked on his couch without a care in the world when a knock came on his door. A green guy and a raccoon said they were old friends, but he'd never seen them before. They kept calling him Thor, Hulk dunked him in the toilet, and the raccoon got blood on his rug. They say he's gotta save the world, but he'd rather sip a White Russian and have another drug. But the dude missed his rug. They really tied the room together. They told him they'd get him another drug if the dude came and joined the Avengers. The dude abides. Yes, the dude abides. Thanos straight to soul for soul. And the dude just wants to bow. It's a battle for the fate of the world. And you better pick a side. But if you're fighting the bad guys and you don't play the Eagles, then the dude abides. They traveled over the universe and at least five movies to look for some shiny stones. The dude couldn't tell what was going on and he just wanted to go home. But when they got back, Thanos was there too, and it started an all-out brawl. As explosions raged all around him, the dude grabbed his bowling ball. But then the portals opened up, and then the characters came back. The dude saw his best friend walled, and he fired his guns into Thanos' back. The dude abides. Yes, the dude abides. Thanos trades a soul for a soul. And the dude just wants to bow. It's a battle for the fate of the world. And you better pick a side. But if you're fighting the bad guys and you don't play the Eagles, then the dude abides.
I'd just like to remind everybody that while the dude was helping defeat the bad guys, Thor was getting drunk and playing video games. The God of Thunder was doing nothing while the dude was saving the world. Goes to show you how no man is burdened by his past, and any man can shape his own destiny. I take comfort in that.
The dude.